So in today's gospel, we hear another of Jesus' parables. We've heard a bunch of them this summer. And every time we have one of the parables, I can't help but think of how strange they are. And this is an aspect of the parables that we don't always think about, just how unrealistic the story can be. The parables are always have familiar situations in them. So you might have a farming situation or a business situation, but there's usually a moment at which we realize that this is not a normal situation. And when we realize what moment that is, then I think that can help us get to Jesus's deeper meaning of the parable. So let's look at today's. We can think to ourselves, okay, when is it starting to get a little weird? So we have a landowner who's finding workers for his vineyard. He goes out in the early morning, finds some laborers, agrees with them on what their pay is going to be, which is the usual daily wage. And then he goes out again at 9 o'clock. He goes out again at noon. He goes out again at 3. And then he goes out again at 5. So it was normal at first, but then it starts to get a little odd. I mean, who goes out to find more workers an hour before they're finished? Did something go really wrong? Is there just that much work to do? And then when everybody lines up to get paid, the foreman first pays the people who had worked 1 hour. And the people who worked 1 hour get the salary that they would have gotten if they had worked 12 hours. And everybody gets the same thing, whether they work 1 hour or 12 hours. So this is when we know that something's weird here. Because no one would do this. I wouldn't do this. If one of our hourly staff people worked 30 hours, I would not pay them for 40 hours. That's bad business. It reminds me actually of some of Jesus's other parables that I think are similar, like his very famous parable of the sower, where the farmer is sowing seed. And he gets some of the seed in a place where it's going to grow, but most of it goes in places that it's not going to grow, in the thorns and the rocks, on the path. And being the son of a farmer, I know that this would not happen because farmers don't waste things, certainly not seed. It would be bad business to do so. So, clearly something is going on here. What's Jesus trying to tell us? Well, he's trying to tell us something about God, and I think the first point that we can take away is that God is not like us. This was actually the point of the first reading today from the prophet Isaiah. God says through the prophet, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts." So it's pretty clear that God thinks differently than we do. God sees things differently than we do. So what's the difference? What's the difference between our human point of view and God's point of view? Well, it comes up pretty quickly in this passage when those who had worked all day come and get their payment, and they get the same thing as everybody else. And rightfully, or understandably at least, they complain about that. Why would somebody who got an hour's work get the same as somebody who got who worked for 12 hours? I mean, our HR person would be pulling his hair out It'd be a disaster. And it doesn't seem fair. So I think this is one of the differences, actually, between the way that God thinks and the way that we think, is that we are very concerned with fairness, if things are fair. Whenever I talk about fairness in my homilies, I always mention my poor sister, who's 2 years younger than me and has been one of my best friends since childhood. And she was the fairness police in our home. Maybe you have a fairness police in your home as well, or maybe you are the fairness police. During the summer, for instance, when my dad would be outside and my mom would be at work, mom would leave us a detailed list of what we were supposed to get done, and each kid in our family had a list of tasks, and my sister went over that list with a fine-tooth comb, making sure that every person's tasks were equal, and that no one was going to have to work more than anybody else, especially not her. And then during the day, Emily would monitor how everyone else was doing on their chores. She would always finish hers, of course, but if she suspected that one of us was not going to finish, then our mother would receive a phone call at work and we would be reported. So anyway, if you also are the fairness police in your home, please know that God loves you just the way that you are. He made you that way. And there's this preoccupation with fairness in each of us. Little kids, I think, you know, before they can even write their name or are out of diapers, they're accusing their parents of not being fair. And then what do you usually respond? Well, life's not fair. And after this homily, you'll be able to say, well, God's not fair. So you're welcome. So our human focus is fairness, especially when it comes to what we're receiving, what we're getting. What's God's focus? Well, it seems to be God's focus is on generosity. If we, at the end of this passage, what does the landowner say to those who are grumbling? Essentially, those who are grumbling are saying, it's not fair. It's not fair that they get as much as I get when I did more work than they. I'm more deserving of they, is what they're saying. And what does he say? Are you envious because I'm generous? So God's concern seems to be with generosity, which makes sense because God is love. And here's the difference between when our preoccupation is with fairness versus when our preoccupation is with love. When we're preoccupied by fairness, we're seeking that everybody get what they deserve, but love seeks that everybody gets what's good for them. So it's not fair how the wages were distributed, but the landowner wanted to give everyone what he felt was good for them. And this is what love is. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us it's willing the good of the other. It's not a feeling. This is why Jesus tells us that we can love our enemies, because love is not to have good feelings towards someone, but rather it's to want the good for them, to choose the good for them. So this is how we know we love someone. And this is good news for all of us, especially families, because God knows we don't always have lovey feelings for our spouse, for our kids, but choosing the good for them is what expresses love for them. When we choose the good, even when our feelings are hurt, even when we're angry, etc. So this is God's preoccupation, is giving us what's good for us, which might not seem fair. I think especially, where do we see this in relation to God? Well, I think especially this has to do with the forgiveness of our sins. And especially when we go to the sacrament of reconciliation, this is the amazing thing about God's mercy, that someone can commit the worst possible sin, and if with a sorrowful heart they go to confession, that sin is wiped away. Now, if they committed a crime, they might have to go to jail. So there's restitution that's due the civil authorities. But in God's eyes, that sin it's wiped away. It's gone from his eyes. That's amazing mercy. We could ask if that's fair. Or does that person deserve it? When I go to confession, do I deserve forgiveness for my sins? No, I would say not. But God doesn't forgive me because I deserve it. He gives me because he loves me and wants what's good for me, which is his mercy. Please, God, brothers and sisters, we all go to heaven someday. When we go to heaven, if we go to heaven, please, God, when we get to heaven, are we going to be there because we deserve to be there? I won't. I mean, every one of us, this is St. Paul, every one of us is a sinner undeserving of God's mercy. That's what St. Paul says. That's our faith. Every one of us does not deserve God's mercy, but he chooses to bestow mercy upon us because we're his children and he loves us. So, this generous mercy and love with which God loves us, he wants us more and more to love others with the same love. To be less concerned about what this person has and what this person has, and do they deserve what they have, and don't I deserve more than what I actually have? How easy is it for us to look at the blessings that other people have received and be jealous? Jealous of somebody's job, jealous of somebody's the number of grandchildren that they have, jealous of the size of their house, jealous that they never seem to be fighting with one another. So, what if we could be happy for the ways that other people are blessed and not worry about whether they deserve it or not, or whether we deserve it or not, but instead to want the good for others. This is how God's different than us. He wants the good for every person. So if we struggle with this, it's actually good for us to recognize, because all we need to do is ask Jesus to help us. With whatever our struggle is, we can just ask him, Lord, help me to be happy for Cindy. Help me to be happy for Greg. Help me to love them. Please take away my jealousy. So, gratitude for the ways that God loves us, which we don't deserve. The more and more we learn that gratitude for our not deserving God's love, maybe we can be less worried about whether others deserve things, and love them by desiring and choosing the good for them too.